Well, good morning. On Alabama time. I had a big shock today. Not only did we do the hour thing, but I drove across the state line. So it was a pretty big shift for me going on. It's kind of weird. I was trying to set clocks. Like, so I set them, you know, yesterday to do the fallback thing. And then when I got in the van, I was like, well, I'm going to move this one to be on Alabama time. And then my phone hadn't quite caught up because I hadn't crossed the state line yet, and so it was all crazy for a little bit there. Got a little squirrely. But anyway, my name is Jeff Beckham, and I am honored to be sharing with you all today. I am from Whitesburg, Georgia. It's just across the state line on I-20 as you're headed to Atlanta, if you ever come that way. It's Carrollton is right there, and we live in the same county. But we're just a little small town on the Chattahoochee River. And my wife and I have two boys, and we've lived down there, 15 years. Yeah, I think that's right. Sounds good. 15 years, don't make me do math. I'm like I said, I'm very thankful to be here today to share with you just kind of what God's been doing in my life, which is always crazy. I don't know if I have adult ADHD or... But I love to jump topics, and so preaching is always a challenge for me because they're like, hey, you need to lock it in. And there's this guy at my church, and every time I preach, he'll come up to me afterwards and say something about that. Either, man, you were on a lot of rabbit trails today. And I'm like, yeah, but did you get something? That's what I really, really care about. And that's what I want to say. You know, I hope at the end of this you're able to take something away because, you know, if we just hear and we don't do, it's really irrelevant. It's about us going out and obeying, not just being hearers of the word for sure. So we are beginning a series that you guys are doing on prayer. I don't know if you knew that. Michael told you that. But I'm opening up the series for you today. And in honor of prayer, if I could encourage you today to mature in one area, it would be reading your Bible. We're going to talk about prayer, but we wouldn't know a whole lot about prayer without the Word of God. I was listening to some guys speak, and they were talking about that. Like, man, just how important it is that we are grounded in the Word. And I've been in ministry a long time. And when we sit around circles and we talk about our struggles, tons and tons of times. I don't know what percentage I'd put on it. But usually the big struggles are, I need to read my Bible more. You know, I hear that a lot. And it's true. We need to read our Bible more. We need to be grounded in the Word of God. Because out of that, that's where we're hearing the story of God and the commands of God. And we know how to live this out, including prayer. And so as we introduce this today, I'm going to read quite a bit of Scripture. I just kind of want to dig into this. And I'm going to kind of take a blanket approach, if you will. We're going to kind of cover prayer through the entire spectrum. I'm not going to just hone in on one area, but we're going to try to cover it completely and just kind of give you a big picture view of it a little bit. But Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." I talk about this verse so often, actually the entire chapter, but I talk about this verse a lot with our church because, our mind is constantly being renewed with things. Like there's stuff always coming in. The eyes and ears of the body are the gateway, right, to our mind. And so what we're listening to and what we're seeing and all those things are making an impact on us. There's no question about that influences us, okay? In some way or another, it influences us. And so renewing of our mind and making sure we're putting the good things in. And so back to Scripture being one of those key elements, you know, making sure that we're in the Word so our mind is being renewed and we're not becoming more like the world. We're becoming more like Jesus. So my wife and I, we garden. I don't know if we're weird in that way. I don't see a lot of other people doing that these days in our life anyway. But we like to garden. And we can, and we do all those things. Both of our grandmothers did that, and our parents did that, and so we just kind of took that on. And we love being outside. We love doing the whole thing, like every part of it. on some level is enjoyable. And then, you know, towards the end of the garden season, you kind of get tired of weeding and those kinds of things. But we really love fresh vegetables. We do. We get excited about it, kind of ridiculously sometimes, about growing stuff. But we've learned, God has taught us so much from playing out there in the dirt. He has taught us tremendous amounts of things. But I was listening to the radio this week, and we have J93, they call it the Joy FM, over where I live. And they were talking about fruit flies, and they told a story about fruit flies. And it's pretty funny because I've experienced this story. And so we bring our vegetables in, right? And there's a lot of things that some people refrigerate that you necessarily don't have to refrigerate. And one of those is tomatoes, you know. In fact, if you refrigerate tomatoes, it can impact the flavor and just different things like that. And so we leave our tomatoes out on the counter. And we don't do a lot of canning of tomatoes. We do a lot of canning of other things. But we try to eat the tomatoes. Well, sometimes they blow up on us. You know, we have so many tomato plants, and they're just all over the counters. And inevitably, what will happen is they'll start to rot because that's what they do. And we'll know that's happening either sometimes by an odor we'll begin to smell, and then, you know, we start trying to figure out which ones are bad and throwing them out. Or fruit flies will show up. We'll see one here and there, and then a couple days go by, and then there's 10, and then a couple days go by, and it seems like our kitchen is swarming. You walk in, and like this cloud of stuff is flying around your head, and there are fruit flies everywhere. And they were telling this story on J93, and they were talking about how sometimes just our environment, the environment we create that allows Satan to impact us, that allows us to maybe not make the best choice or to be deceived. The Bible talks about how we grab ourselves literally by the collar and drag ourselves into sin when we're tempted. That's how it describes it. And I think sometimes the environment we just casually create for ourselves invites fruit flies in, right? And before you know it, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to do the things of God because we're so distracted by what's going on around us. And I believe with all my heart that prayer is one of those things that just helps create a godly environment for us. I don't care where you're at. Maybe you left your Bible at home that day and you can't just whip it out and quote a scripture at something that's going on, but you can always cry out to God, right? I always think about that image of Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. And I always ask my students, I've done student ministry for a long, long time, and I always ask them to tell me that story because that's a pretty familiar story for a lot of people who have been in the church, and they'll always tell it like this. Well, Peter saw that Jesus was on the water, and he got out of the boat, and he walked towards him, and he sank, and then Jesus saved him. And I'm like, nope, that's not what happened. Yes, it is. No, it's not. That's not what happened. Because Peter recognized that he was drowning. He did what? He cried out to God, you know? So we always have that ability to cry out to God. And I'm going to talk about that in how we approach prayer. But we always can pray. We can always pray. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." So in every situation, we have this ability to pray. I didn't know what anxiety was until I had children. And when my kids get runny noses, I freak out and think they have the flu and we need to go to the emergency room. So I have to fight this anxiety. I stay up all night. My wife just thinks I'm crazy, and I'll just sit there and watch their chest go up and down, you know, make sure it's in a good rhythm and all this stuff. So I get a lot of anxiousness about it, and I've really had to work on giving that to God. And it was making me laugh that I was talking about this day, because that was one of the things I was praying about yesterday. My kids have this little runny nose and a little bit of a cough, and it's not, man, I got people in my life who are battling cancer, kids who are battling cancer. I mean, I know these stories, and I'm like, God, how silly of me. And God's like, in every situation, it's not silly. I want you to draw near to me in every situation, all the time, right? So it's not just in the crisis when I'm drowning on the lake after walking on the water. It's in every situation we are called to cry out to God. So this morning, we're going to create the environment. We're going to open up with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to share a little more with you. God, thank you. Thank you that I get together here with my brothers and sisters. God, thank you that you're present with us. Thank you for the promises in Scripture and all the ways you teach us and how you meet us on the road where we are. It's not a matter of hierarchy and who's more spiritual than someone else, God. It's we're all walking this journey together. We're here to be mentored or to mentor. We're here to mentor someone or be mentored by somebody, God. We're all in different places. We want to help each other out. We want to carry each other's burdens. We want to grow together. So, God, it just doesn't matter what someone's prayer life is at this moment. What matters is that they're maturing in it. God, and so we want to invite your Holy Spirit in this morning to just speak to us, to help us to understand what our next step in this is, where we need to go with our prayer life. Maybe we've sat in one place for far too long, and it's time to challenge ourselves to get out of the boat and to take some steps towards you. God, help me. I always baffle that you have me in this role. I'm no better than anybody. I don't deserve to be standing up here any more than anyone else. And so, God, I pray that I can just get out of the way and allow you to speak through your Scriptures and the stories you've laid on my heart. And God, just let your people be transformed to look more like Christ. We love you in his name. Amen. So, Tozer, A.W. Tozer wrote a book on prayer, and he put this in there. He says, prayer at its best is the expression of the total life. And what he's talking about there is this same thing. Like, hey, when prayer is impacting every area of your life, that's when it's at its best. That's when we're going to be being shaped by it the most. And again, in the big things, in the small things, and what tends to happen in our life, right, is we wait until, very similar to Peter, we are sinking before we cry out. And that's great. That's still a time to cry out, but man, Christ calls us to spiritual maturity. And that is a word God has taught me so much in over the last 3 or 4 years. Spiritual maturity. That I am called to be clothed with Christ. And sometimes I look at myself like I'm broken. Because, right, we're sinful and we, to some degree, we're broken people. And we need a Savior and we have Jesus and he saves us. But sometimes I get this thing that I'm fixed, right? And I'm not really fixed. My flesh is still here. The brokenness is here, right? It's going to be here until I get my new body and I get to hang out in heaven. And so we have this ongoing battle. The Bible says our flesh wages war against our spirit. So there's this on. But what he does help us to do in our weakness is to mature in him. To put away childish things, right? And to grow up. I have an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old. And my 8-year-old thinks my 3-year-old should be 8 years old all the time. And I try to explain to him often, like, he's 3, man. You acted the same way. It doesn't matter. You know, and he tells me about how his brother's doing this and doing that and how he needs to grow up. I'm like, buddy, he's 3, okay? Give him some time. He will. When he's 8, he's going to act like you when you're 8. And then you're going to be mad at him because you're going to be 12 and 13, and you're going to think he should act like you then, and it's never going to end, man. And so I'm like, you got to give him time to grow and mature. And so that's what God calls us to mature in Christ. I was thinking about the last 24 hours, and I didn't plan on this. I just added this note just a few minutes ago. I was just thinking about, like, hey, just in honor of transparency a little bit, I tried to think back of the things I've prayed about in the last 24 hours. My wife is a photographer, And we did a wedding yesterday. I was on my feet for 12 hours, and they were just killing me. And I was complaining to God, and then he opened up this cool ministry moment, and I was like, I'm sorry. I had to ask for forgiveness of that. But I was over the last 24 hours, I was having a conversation during the ceremony with God over what I was seeing at the wedding, because there's parts of the wedding that seemed to be about him, and then there were lots of parts of the wedding that didn't seem to be about him. And I'm like, hey, God, how do I work this out as a Christian in this environment? So I was talking to him about that. I prayed for my kids' colds a couple of times, probably. I prayed for a family. This was the situation that opened up at the very end of the night. It was crazy. This guy came up to me, and we started talking, and my wife and I had several miscarriages while we were getting our two boys that we were blessed with, and this guy just opened up to me about that, and so I was able to really dialogue with him and minister to him. It was really cool, you know, because I was complaining to the Lord, like, oh, can we get out of here? The temperature dropped, and my feet were throbbing, and I was, like, belly aching, and then God opened up this really cool moment. So I prayed about that. I was praying for myself. Romans 12:1, we didn't read that, but it talks about being a living sacrifice. It's one of my theme verses for life, and I try to start my day with that verse about dying to myself, because I think one of the number one issues for all of us is pride, and we get in our own way, and my opinion matters more than anyone's, and all this stuff. So I was praying for death to pride as I preached. And then on the way here, I have to repent of this too. I voice texted, but still it was distracting while I was driving. But a young man I'm discipling was struggling, and so I wanted to have prayer with him. And I didn't call him because I wanted him to have it. And so I talked a prayer out, and you know, Siri did its thing, and don't go off. Okay. And typed it all out for me and messed it up. And so then I was trying to correct it while I was driving down the road, and I was like, oh, I need to stop doing this. Bad example. So I prayed for him and sent that to him. I prayed for my wife and boys today, and I was just praying for our church and its leaders and those kinds of things. And so that kind of encompasses the last 24 hours to me. And I didn't share that. I hope you don't take it as he's tooting his own horn. Man, prayer has changed a lot for me. And I didn't used to talk to God like I talk to him now. And so I'm going to read through a couple of scriptures pretty quickly because I don't know about you, but for me, it started off with mealtime prayers, right? Maybe that's pretty common. That's what my boys are doing. My three-year-old, he has this prayer that he recites. And before every meal, he'll say his prayer. And, you know, he said, God bless the food and thank you for mommy and daddy and brother and Elias. And he prays for, you know, himself. And it's so cute. And so he says that every meal, and then my eight-year-old has a prayer that he says it changes sometimes. And then Caden and I, we have prayer before he goes to sleep. We get in there and we talk about life a little bit every night before we go to bed. We talk about life and what we need to pray about. And so we dig into some prayer time. And so, you know, that's where it started for me as a kid too, right? And then I stayed in that phase a long time, well into adulthood, I would say, except for the sinking moments, right? When we're desperate and we don't know where else to turn, and then we're like, God, you know, we need saved. And, you know, I really hope and encourage you to mature past those points because we need to. You know, God calls us to a prayer life, and it really is. You know, it says by the Spirit we get to call him Abba, Father. And I always have wrestled with that because, man, we're talking about God. There's places in the Bible where the people were like, God, please stop talking. Because we can't even handle it. We can't handle the intensity of who you are. There's that reverent stuff, right? The big-time creator God. And then we come to this place where he's like, hey, by my Holy Spirit, you can reach out to me like a dad. Whew. That's a big spectrum right there, you know? That's a big spectrum. But God promises if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Right, and he loves us. I mean, this is about love. Even when we don't understand things, it is about love and relationship. And so he's asking us to draw near to him, and he will draw near to us. So I'm going to read four passages of Scripture, just kind of one right after another here for just a second. So Luke 18:1, there's a parable there about the persistent widow. I'm just going to read verse 18. Did I say that right? Is that verse 18? Yeah, 18:1. That's what I'm reading. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. To pray and not lose heart. Ephesians 6:18, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all kinds of occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, This was one of the verses when I was a kid when they said memorize something. This was when I went to pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. I really do think prayer is kind of the aroma of our life. I think about the times where I have been in situations. I was in I think it was Haiti one time, and a storm came, and I was in a pretty rough area, and there was a lot of rain, and so it kind of overflowed the ditches, and there was this smell that happened when that happened. That I could not escape. Like it was rough, and it just got burned into my nostrils, I think. But it was rough, you know, because I usually think of rain and this freshness, right? And it was not fresh. It was a rough odor, and I just think about that. I know it's a weird way to think about prayer, but like that this aroma of our life, that back to the environment thing, that it creates this environment for us. And the Bible calls us to pray on all occasions, to pray faithfully, to pray without ceasing. And I really think we have to develop the habit of that in our life. As we begin to evaluate where we're at with that, maybe you are at mealtime prayer still. Maybe it's just a mealtime prayer. We ask God to bless our food. Man, that's great. Maybe I just find myself crying out to Him in crisis. Great. But we got to mature. We're not called to just sit. We're called to move in these things. So, I'm going to read to you. This one isn't on the screen. But it is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I use it often to talk about Jesus and how He loved us and what He's called us to. And it's right before the garden scene. He's praying for His disciples. He's praying for us. And I love it. So I'm going to read through the entire chapter. I'm a fast reader. It's John 17 if you want to follow along. And then we'll jump back in. When Jesus had spoken these words, He lifted His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You. Since You have given Him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify Me in Your presence with the glory that I had with You before the world existed. I have manifested Your name to the people whom You gave Me out of this world. Yours they were, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Now they know that everything that You have given Me is from You. For I have given them the words that You gave Me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from You, and they have believed that You sent Me. I am praying for them, and I am not only praying for them, for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours. All Mine are Yours, and Yours are Mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to You, Holy Father. Keep them in Your name, which You have given Me, that they may be one, even as We are one. While I was with them, I kept them in Your name, which You have given Me. I have guarded them. Not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to You, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have My joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that You take them out of the world, but that You keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. And You sent Me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate Myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for all those who will believe in Me through their word, that they may be all one, just as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. The glory that You have given Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one, I in them and You in Me, that they may become partly, perfectly one, so that the world may know that You sent Me and loved them even as You loved Me. Father, I desire that they also, whom You have given Me, may be with Me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know you that have sent me, that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. I wanted to read that to you today, because does that sound like your prayer? I felt very convicted. I'm going to do a little, at the end of times I speak, I always talk about a next step. You know, what's something you can do this week to kind of move in what we're talking about today? And it's crazy that Michael reached out to me about this issue, because I felt very convicted about something. My prayers haven't sounded much like that either. You know, it's funny, like we walk around and we begin, I hope you begin to deepen your prayer life. And, you know, here I've been at ministry 18 years and took a big slap on the head to like, hey, you need to go back and look at the things that Jesus prayed. You need to go back and look at the things Paul was praying and how they prayed them. Are you praying for your brothers and sisters like that? Man, it was eye-opening. And I'm still in the middle of a study on Paul's prayers, like just going through them and seeing the way he prayed for the churches and that he prayed for the believers. Do we pray for each other like that? Do we pray for a boldness? Do we pray for, are we bored out of our ever-loving mind with prayer, and it's almost a chore sometimes? I'm calling you to maturity. We got to grow in prayer. We got to become more like Christ. There's this excerpt from Tozer's book, and I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to kind of just offer a challenge to you. And I want you to listen to this. There's some really deep stuff in here, and I was going to just kind of paraphrase it, but I don't want to mess it up. I want to say it like he said it. And it says, the truth that prayer at its best is the total expression of life, which was the quote we started with, is complex to the believer who is not in constant communion with the Father, who has conformed much to the world, and who sees prayer only as a fire escape in difficult times or in critical emergencies. This believer tends to call on God only when he cannot work out a solution to a difficult situation. That is, he has no other option. To this believer, prayer is a duty and it's burdensome. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." When the whole life prays, so when prayer is impacting all of your life, there is no burden. It's not legalistic bondage to prayer. The other issue that adds to the complexity of this truth on the total life is the inability of this believer to discern or connect the dots on unanswered prayer, sin, and their walk in Christ. Prayer seems to be a mystery to this believer, a random process that doesn't make sense. However, in actuality, God is trying to grasp the attention of this believer by unanswered prayer or few prayers being answered to make him realize that God desires his submission in all things under the power of the Holy Spirit. His resistance to the devil, his drawing near to God. If this believer responds to God's wooing, he will begin to realize that a holy life is the fertile soil of prayer that changes the world around them. To not respond to God's gentle and loving prompting forces God, the Father, to discipline us in many ways, inclusive of our prayers, that we might share his holiness. Thus, the journey is more painful and complex. Man, I read that. I had to go back and read it a couple of times because there's so much truth in there. The more we just turn to prayer in those crisis moments, the more it is confusing, because we're not filtering life through this conversation with God. I want you to think about it for just a second. You go about tomorrow, and every turn you are running it by him. Do you not think that will impact things? Do you not think that will create an environment for the Holy Spirit to work? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the things you're letting get poured in are creating an environment, right? That's what they do. The things we let in our eyes and ears are creating an environment for us. Are they drawing us to the Father, or are they drawing us away from the Father? Because the Bible is very clear that there's no middle ground. Right? The power of the tongue speaks life and death. I mean, it talks about this over and over again. We like to create little gray areas, but there's not. And so as we walk through our day and as we mature in our prayer life and we begin to draw nearer to God in everything, not just at mealtimes and not just at crisis and not just on Sundays, but in every way, our understanding of prayer, like I always think about, there was a scripture, I don't know how many years it was now, I used to say, but like I've lost count. But there's a scripture in the Bible that just like set me on fire when I read it one day. It says, Jesus came to give you life, and life more what? Abundantly. And I remember reading that and I was like, I don't have life abundantly. It's a chore to read the Bible sometimes. It's a chore to pray sometimes. What in the world am I missing? And I wasn't drawing near to Him. I was doing the elementary things that we've been talking about. I was doing just enough. I was memorizing the shortest verse in the Bible. I was praying blessing on my cheeseburger. And I was crying out to God when the problem got too big for me. But I wasn't drawn near to Him in everyday moments. All day, conversation. And by His Holy Spirit, we get to cry out to Him, Abba, Father. The Creator has made it possible for you not to go through some ritual high priest thing like they had to do. No, you get to just approach Him. And we're bored out of our mind. Something's missing, folks. And I would dare say it's this maturing process. We've never grown up into Christ. We didn't put away childish things. So what is it for you? Where are you in all of this? What's your next step? As I shared with you, I know mine right now. I cheated. I've had time to prepare. But mine, I'm studying the Paul prayers, the way he prayed for his church, the way he prayed for the believers in his life. Because I want to pray like that. I want that to be my heart for my brothers and sisters and for the church. And I found a lot of gaps where my prayers don't quite line up with that. That's mine. What's it for you? What's your next step? What's an area in prayer that you can take a step? I even hate to say this week because a lot of times we're like, okay, I'll get to it on Friday or Saturday night at 11:59. What can you do today? How can you start your day tomorrow different? Where you can draw near to God in the everyday things. And I want to encourage you, John 17, Jesus' prayer. There's so many sermons in that entire prayer. But I just want to encourage you, if you get a chance this week, to take some time and just meditate on the words of Jesus. There's a lot of powerful stuff in there. And He does the I and them, you, me things a lot, and it gets a little confusing, so you got to slow down and really, really digest that one. But I want to encourage you to do that. I think that would lay a nice platform out for prayer. Just listening to how Jesus is praying for His disciples. He's about to leave, right? We talk about the Great Commission and how important that is because those were some of His last words, right? This is one of His last documented prayers. Pretty important stuff. So take some time this week, John 17, and just meditate on that. And invite God in to show you the next step. Maybe you don't know right now. Maybe that's your next step, is to begin just inviting God in to reveal that to you. Let's pray. God, thank You again that we get to just approach You. Lord, as I read through the Old Testament and I see that our sin just makes You unapproachable. And how through what Jesus did for us in this gift of the Holy Spirit, we get to just call out to You. Anywhere, anytime we are, we just get to call out to You. That ought to bring us to our knees. And so often it's, yeah. Yeah. God, wake us up. We talk about revival and a stirring. God, I pray it happens inside of us. God, I pray that you bring that life into us that you talk about. But I know how that happens. I know that we have to draw near to you, and you are going to draw near to us. You always do your part. So God, I pray for just a spiritual maturing in the body of believers here at LifeBridge. God, I pray for an awakening in them, a fervor for your word, God, and just a desire to talk to you, to have conversation, to bring the everyday life through that filter of prayer with you. God, thank you for our time here this afternoon. It's about to come to an end. We're going to go our separate ways, and maybe our paths never cross again while we're here on this planet. God, I pray that this time together wasn't in vain. I pray that you gave us something to think about, that you gave us something to move in our walk. We pray that you're honored as we close this thing out and worship you. Thank you again for Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen.